And I am here in studio with State Representative Joan Moschino of Hull. So nice to see you today.
Oh, good afternoon, Christine. Good afternoon to all your listeners.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We were just talking a few minutes ago before I wanted to ask you about some of the State House stuff. Big anniversary that had just come up. And then, of course, the blizzard of 78.
Yes.
And you grew up right on the water in
yes.
Hull. And you shared an interesting memory with me that kind of brought a lot of that back. And it had to do with trying to open the door to get in your house.
Well, I remember we went to school. My sister and I were in middle school then. And we went to school. And the wind just picked up out of nowhere. And I think it I feel like no one really was saying that it was going to be as big a storm as it was. So we just walked to school, and the wind just came out of nowhere. My mom actually, unusually, drove to pick us up. And when she brought us back, we went up the stairs right into the house like we normally do. But when I was first, and when I tried to open the screen door, the wind gusts were so powerful at that point that it took right out of my hand and smashed all the glass. So we had to actually lock down that door, pick up all the glass, and then go in the back. And the storm just grew from there. It really was amazing. Sleeping in the house that night, I will never forget. It was like sleeping on a train. It was just, the wind just never stopped. It was really amazing.
Oh my goodness. And you said, well, at the middle school, they were using that for shelter. So how long were the kids out of school in Hull?
We were out of school in Hull for a month. The whole month of February.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, because remember it was at the top of the month, so it was like the Monday, Tuesday, and then that was the town's shelter at the time. Now they have a very different way of organizing, but that was the town's shelter at the time, and so that was where everyone went, and I do remember that the high school also sustained some damages and things like that, so yeah, kids in Hull were out of school for the entire month of February. When does that ever happen? That's like the thing you dream about as a kid, like, well, maybe I'll be out of school for snow tomorrow,
yeah.
And it was the whole month.
Oh
yeah.
My goodness. You know, so many people have so many memories. We've done stories over the years with our owner, Ed Perry, with our meteorologist, Rob Gilman, and some of the local figures like retired Fire Chief Ed Bradley from Plymouth,
sure,
too.
Sure, sure. He would remember.
Dave Gavigan, our terrorism expert, who was with the National Guard and was talking about what was going on in Boston. So
knock on fake wood
here that we don't
storm
get
of the century. We've already had it.
Okay, we're done. Nothing to see here.
Don't jinx us.
Trying not to. But you're always busy up at the State House, and we talk about the bills that get filed. I think a lot of people would be surprised to know, of course, there are thousands of bills that get filed.
6,000 bills.
Which is an astronomical number. Today is an important day at the State House, February 7th. Why?
Under the joint rules, this is the day when all joint committees have to take a first action step on all timely filed bills. So over the past week or so, committees have been taking, you know, initial polls and votes on whether to advance it, whether to say it ought not to pass, or send a study, which is a nicer way to say try again, or to hold the bill, extend it in committee where you can keep working on the language of that bill until it's really ready with the committee chairs. So the one we always talk about is House 74, the streaming services.
Right.
So good news, that bill was extended and is being held in the committee. They've asked us to chase down a little bit more information from them as they're considering it. So we've got, we reached out to the Department of Revenue, and they're doing a research project for us on how it would be implemented as written. And then we're also, just reaching out to some of the municipalities and the mayors just to make sure that they're good with it and to make sure everyone's on board. And so it's exciting to work with the House and Senate chair and see if we can't get this one across the finish line for an actual vote of the legislature. So we'll keep working.
And for people that aren't familiar with that, in a nutshell, why is this such an important bill?
This creates the sustainable revenue stream that funds all of our public access channels. So the way you watch your selectmen's meetings or all the local programming, we refer to them as community media centers now instead of just PEG channels, because they're just doing so much more than broadcasting those meetings for transparency in town government. They're doing a lot of their own programming, and they're training the next generation of reporter, and and they're really teaching people how to be producers and how to be on camera and interview. It's really exciting. And there's a lot of great programming around, like music and arts and things like that, and man on the streets and things like in events. But what I really love most about it is that it really brings people in is that access to municipal government. You know, maybe 25 people can sit in a selectman's meeting room, but 125 people can watch online. So
that's right. And what has happened with people cutting the cord when it comes to cable, some of that funding's going away. So explain why that happens.
So what happens is we have cable franchise laws, and they were getting exclusivity in the towns, and we were giving them access over the municipal rights of ways, and they agreed to pay under the law 5% on their cable subscription. And then that money would go back to the towns to make sure that the towns were able to do the local programming, right? That trusted programming that we all mm-hmm. come to love and value so much. As people follow new technology and start streaming, you know, there's fewer people who are on the cable subscriptions. So now it's 5% of a larger number, which really stresses people out. And eventually, you know, we'll lose that revenue stream altogether. So it's diminishing now, and we'll eventually lose it with technological innovation. So all we're doing is following the customer and making sure that you know, what used to be just cable and now is also streaming services are paying into the public good. It's that basic.
That's right. And I hope I don't want to see another nail in the coffin for local news, because they do the right. cable access. They do a tremendous job. It's really, I tell people, if you haven't checked it out lately, it's not your father's or mother's cable access. It's a whole nother level.
Well, and what's going to end up happening is a lot of these places are going to start putting up paywalls, and that just, you know, in the absence of the weekly newspapers, I mean, we've lost so many of them. Mm-hmm. We just can't lose this access to this again.
Absolutely. Yeah. And speaking of beaches, when we were talking a little bit about the blizzard of 78, you always hear a lot about the Metropolitan Beaches Commission. What do they do exactly? Because I know Hull's part of it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So they came together in 2006-07. And really what it was is the municipalities and the local friends groups coming together in one commission. It's legislatively authorized to advocate for more funding and more resources with the state through the DCR, the Department of Conservation and Recreation. They're the ones that manage all these beaches in our communities, and it just was a place where not only were they not funding it properly, they were cutting a lot of things there. And, you know, just using Nantasket Beach as an example, if you drive into Nantasket, the DCR reservation literally is the gateway, right? Mm-hmm. That whole stretch there is all DCR property. So if it's in shambles and it's not in good repair, that's what people think of the town of Hull, and that couldn't be further from the truth. So we all came together to leverage a shared voice. Instead of fighting over little bits and pieces of the pie, we all came together to share our advocacy for more pie. And it's worked great. DCR is very receptive right from the beginning. We have engaged. We have gotten the budget up. We've gotten better staffing on the beaches and also more programming on the beaches. Mm-hmm. Save the Harbor, Save the Bay continues to staff that commission. And right now, actually, they're looking for applicants for some grant money for programming on the beach. So people should check out their website. But it is now evolved, so it's now more at the state level to continue to really preserve that and protect that funding. So it's been a great partnership between each of the beaches, Nantasket up to Nahant, and we really have established a good rapport and a relationship, and we're getting the resources we need. And all you have to do is drive to Nantasket, and you can see it. The seawall is fixed now. The boardwalk looks beautiful. The parking lots, the roadways, the sidewalks are paved. The Mary Jeanette Murray Bathhouse has been, you know, renovated, and it's constantly being rehabbed. And they're always thinking about how to better traffic flow and mm-hmm. really make the beaches welcoming. The next task for the Metro Beaches Commission is really two things. Access to the beaches, so signage in other languages, making sure the ramps for people who are handicapped are accessible to get people on the beaches, the right kinds of wheelchairs, mm-hmm. and Hull Fire can also help with that. And you can always go down to A Street as well, as the town of Hull has handicapped access to the beach there too. And but it's also about, you know, just the programming and making sure that everyone feels welcome. The second thing is climate change and resilience. And so the Metropolitan Beaches Commission is actually looking at that and thinking about what is the next level of investment in our beaches to preserve these regional gems. It's great. It's so much fun.
I feel like I'm ready to go to the beach almost.
We are open all year round. Nantasket Beach is actually one of the beaches that you can go park. You can be there during the winter season. You can park for free. But the comfort stations are open. So if you're inclined to take a walk, come on down.
Okay, that's good to know. Always got to plan ahead. Something that we had covered here a couple of times over the years, which always surprised me and saddened me too, because I think it's almost an invisible problem, is some of the students in the local college campuses who have to experience homelessness or just going hungry. And that has been a bigger issue than I think a lot of people have been aware of, but they're making some traction on that.
It's a real problem. You know, we as a state of Massachusetts and our schools do such an amazing job really sustaining homeless kids, kids with food insecurity, straight through their education. And they are graduating, they want to go to college, and they are matriculating. They're actually getting admitted. Problem is that the supports that we provide K through 12 evaporate as soon as you graduate, and now you're an adult and you're on your own. So what we did was Senator Lovely and I were able to pass into law a pilot program on the state community college campuses, really to address food insecurity. We were able to get $3 million to roll out this pilot program, and it was really tremendously successful. Once we got that in place, the Department of Higher Education, at the time the woman was Katie Abel, convened an advisory commission to take the next step and really look at basic needs insecurity. And they at the time were doing some real in-depth surveys and really kind of figuring out who are these kids or adults and young adults and what they need to succeed on campus and in their education. Because there's a couple of challenges there is, you know, these kids start, they take out the loans, but if they don't make it all the way through, they don't get the degree, and now they're saddled with debt. Huge mm-hmm. problem. Mm-hmm. But more to the point is, right now, we're always talking about climate change and the green technology and the green sector and biotech and all these sectors we're investing in. These are the kids that are going to be the next generation workforce. And you're seeing the state put in a lot of money into really investing in not just the community colleges, but across the board on workforce development. So paying attention to these basic needs and security and having strategies to support them, that's the next generation of workforce that we're all desperate for.
One more quick question. Go Red. That's coming up next week. And why
yes.
is that? Why is that an important issue?
So for those women out there, you need to know that one of the top killers for women is heart attacks. And so Go Red for Women is an awareness building day to make sure that women and everyone else, in particular women, recognize the symptoms of a heart attack. Because they, you know, most medicine is built around men, mm-hmm. and mostly it's men in clinical trials for years and years and years, and women experience these things very differently. So it's just, it's a day at the State House where all of the legislators will come together, wear their red proudly in support of advocacy for women's health in general. But for
is that
for
on their, Valentine's Day or the day before?
It's right I think it's the day before, but it's always right around that
around
time.
Valentine's
yeah,
Day.
Well, it's a great event, and really, I'm just struggling to remember the nationwide organization. But it's an important event, and especially for women to be aware of what these symptoms are.
That's
and
terrific.
Address them.
Now, if people again have questions, or they want to find out about your office hours, or specific bills, or have a question or problem, what's the best way to contact your office?
Call the office 617-722-2092, or just email me joan.moschino@mahouse.gov. We get a tremendous flood of email, but we prioritize our constituent services. And even if it's, you know, trying to wrangle with that RMV to get that handicap placard, or you need, you know, DTA and food stamps and transitional assistance, healthcare, whatever it is. If you're struggling to access services through the state or wrangling with a state agency, just give us a call and we're happy to help navigate.
Well, appreciate you joining us today. Again, that's State Representative Joan Moschino of Hull. And we're going to pop this up online, too. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Always great to be here.
Thank you.